Hello, everybody. Welcome to Free Trying to Pod.
Oh,
it is
hello.
August 9th, 2020. What's up, Broskoyevsky?
It's a Dostoyevsky joke, because I don't fucking appreciate that. I don't appreciate that one bit.
I did my crime, I'll take the punishment.
I think I might call my brother Karamazov, tell him about what you did.
Oh, boy. We joke, but the world is a terrible place. You know?
Yep. But here we are spreading these notes from the underground.
Yeah. You know, and maybe, you know, maybe beautiful. Everyone's going back to school. Isn't that great? All the U.S. kids going back to school, not wearing masks. It's fun.
Because there's not enough masks to go around. Holy fuck, man. I can't even imagine right now. Like,
a girl got suspended, and then because of the backlash, she actually got unsuspended. But she got suspended for taking a picture of the hallways in her school that were, like, absolutely packed, and, like, 3% of people were wearing masks. And the school's like, you're endangering the students. Like, whoa.
By doing what? By taking
the picture and sharing it, even though there was no one's face in the picture. Like, what kind of fucking sick joke is that? She's endangering people by spreading the word that U.S. schools are absolutely abysmally prepared for this fucking thing.
Yeah, man. Well, there's going to be political consequences, but unfortunately, I mean, the Democrats are... Trump is fucking terrible. There's no question about that. But it would be easy to see how if the Democrats had been in charge during this, it would have been the same. Like, because it's the same, like, vindictive, zero-sum game fucking political theater on both sides, where Democrats would have been like, you know, if Democrats were in charge and then issuing these things, you could see Republicans, had they been in, like, the minority party, would have been basically calling the same thing, criticizing Democrats' handling of it. And I think that Joe Biden, as he made clear, would have done the same, if not a worse job dealing with this. Because if you remember, he very clearly stated at the beginning of this whole process that Trump was essentially a racist and that he didn't agree with closing the borders with China, because obviously international trade is more important to both Democrats and Republicans than human lives ever were.
Yeah, I don't know if they would have done worse, but it's possible. And it certainly wouldn't have been much better.
The same.
Yeah.
I think it would have been the same, and I think it would have ended up, I mean, I don't know about the fear of masks that's coming out now from, like, the, I guess, new right now, basically saying that it's their personal liberty.
I think if Democrats were in power and they instituted, like, mask mandates or encouraged masks across the board, which probably wouldn't have happened anyway, because they probably would have done the same thing that Fauci did and say that, oh, masks aren't that helpful, because actually what they're trying to do is protect PPE for frontline workers because they can't mobilize a fucking response to this pandemic.
Yeah, because they don't want to push industry,
yeah,
at all to increase production of masks or ban exports or anything like that. They want to keep the supply lines completely open where they can keep selling these masks abroad, keep these things scarce, and charge $15 for a fucking disposable mask.
Yeah, and I think that the new right would still be, you know, up in arms about it, calling it, like, you know, the new world order and shit, just absolutely baffling stuff. I think the only way that you could have gotten maybe around some of that, and not for everyone, because there's still those people that are going to be conspiracy laden anyway, but if Trump had come out pretty much right away and been like, we all need to wear masks, I think that would have assuaged a lot of people, because I think it's hard to say. I won't say Democrats, but people who are more left-leaning in general are more okay with wearing masks, whereas people nominally on the right seem to be more personal freedom, as if wearing a mask
versus collective good. Yeah. But I could see how that would have changed position completely, basically, that if it were a Democratic government, like if there was a Democratic president basically pushing against the masks, saying that masks aren't useful and we need to save PPE equipment, I can see how Democrats would have been like, yeah, you know, don't wear masks in public. We need to save this for our healthcare workers, stuff like that.
I think because they still believe in science more overall, that they probably would have just been like, then we need to stay home. And if you go out, we should still wear some sort of, like, cloth face mask that we make ourselves. I don't see the complete role reversal. I can see, like, little pieces of that, but I don't think there is a world where if, you know, I could see the top-down part where the president says we need to save PPE, but I think they probably would have just lied about it like they did under the Trump administration.
It's very possible.
But I don't know. It's hard to say. In any case, we don't live in that world, and it doesn't matter because the U.S. is completely fucked and not in a good way right now. And
no use talking about alternative universes.
sometimes it makes you feel better because you forget the shitty one we live in right now. But, I mean, a lot of people right now are talking about now the, you know, the fundraising for, because the fundraising numbers just came out for July. And everyone's talking about how Joe Biden's gaining on Trump and not the fact that our fucking politicians are bought and sold and how disgusting it is.
That was the whole point of essentially what I was saying, is that the Democrats never gave a shit either. In particular, Joe Biden and Cuomo and all these so-called, you know, left leaders, that none of them really gave a shit at the beginning. It was, again, all about keeping trade open. So it's not all about getting Trump out. I mean, that is a huge part of it. Trump is fucking horrible and he is anti-science. But re-electing the same shitty old-style Democrats, I mean, that's not a solution either. And by the way, I mean, the new left Democrats are terrible in their own fucking way, that they have this essentially war on reality in a lot of ways.
How so?
You're gonna make me articulate that?
Yeah, I'm not gonna let you just spray that out there, because a bunch of people just got elected. Like Cori Bush just got elected in St. Louis, and I think that's a fucking phenomenal thing. Former nurse, she's been homeless before, and she's like a single mother, and she has like a lot of these experiences, and is like going out there being like, I'm gonna fucking fight for people. I think that's certainly a million times better than both the Republicans and the Democrats, and I'm happy to see it.
The problems that I have are essentially the same as I had before with AOC, that it's a lot of rhetoric and not a lot of policy. The policies they put forward are completely unpassable through Congress. They have issues with funding, but they also, I mean, they don't really stand up for their own real values. Just like a lot of these new left take huge stands on things like, you know, abortion rights. Man, I'm really inarticulate right now. I don't know why. I really can't express myself very well. they've been taking huge stands on issues like trans issues, on immigration and shit like that. But then when it comes to, this is the biggest thing, I think when it comes to foreign policy, they don't give two shits. Like, no Democrats fucking cared about Kurdistan or China or Russia until Donald Trump came along. Like, these are new issues. And even now, a lot of them will still praise, like, I don't even want to use the word communist, but praise authoritarianism or praise these kinds of systems in the first place. And I think they do a very poor job articulating that modern democratic policy is not socialism. Like the Green New Deal, okay, or whatever, AOC, I mean, she's not a socialist. She's essentially like a 1975 Democrat. Like their ideas are not new and their ideas are not radical. They're basically, they would be kind of a center-right party in the UK or in another place like that. So I think they're a little bit delusional, except when it comes to calling out real authoritarian and communism in the international stage. So that's why it kind of pisses me off.
It pisses me off too, but I mean, I'd rather have that than people who literally are only beholden to, you know, big corporate donors. Because this is where I see it, is you can work with those people because those people are beholden to us, because that's where they get their money, that's where they get their votes. I mean, you can say, of course, every representative gets their votes from the people. But Joe Biden, I have his campaign numbers right here. They're almost the same as Trump. He gets his money from almost the same people. And they've both raised, both of them are really close. Trump is over, Biden's slightly under, $150 million raised in July alone. That doesn't come from normal people. To be fair, more of Trump's money comes from average people, comes in the form of small campaign donors, under $200. Like his is 55% and Biden's is 43%, something like that.
I agree with you. They're worse. But the vast majority of the new left is, they have some, they're right on a lot of policy issues, and I agree with them on a lot of policy, but rhetorically and in terms of their long term strategy, they're very unattractive in a lot of ways, because they're essentially like modern communists in a lot of ways, because they support basically detente with communist governments. They probably support the increase of free trade in a lot of cases, because it's just an opposition to the last 4 years of Donald Trump. And foreign policy, I mean, they're so weak and I think naive about the state of the world. It's frightening.
Yeah, I'd say somewhat, and that might come with more experience. But I agree with you. I think those things should be heavily criticized, and people should speak out about that. I think some of that is reactionary, in the fact that
it's totally reactionary,
but some of it's understandable. And like, I went through that phase when I was like 18, where I was like, yeah, the US is shit. And like, look how these fucking countries like pulled people out of poverty or whatever, which is totally obviously missing the point and actually not very accurate. because global property has dropped all over the world, regardless of, you know. But anyway, exactly. That's the nuance that you get when once you're with it for a little bit longer time.
Once you're woke.
Galaxy brain shit. But it's something that I feel like my point that I made a second ago is why I feel that way, is that these people are people I can work with. Whereas a Mitch McConnell, even you want to go left side, Pelosi, Schumer, I can't work with these fucking people.
Mitchard McConnell.
They've been in power for 40, 50 years, Biden included, and they haven't done shit for working people. They've actually done the opposite in a lot of cases, like Biden basically making it impossible to file for bankruptcy and make it easier for credit card companies to rip you off. I can't work with these people. They're unreachable, and they live in they're the pinnacle of like rich elite that take their money from and their marching orders from fucking corporate overlords.
Jordan, I totally agree with you, but Joe Biden got this way because he was in the Democratic Party. I think that before we start focusing on new left versus old left within the Democratic Party, the most important thing is we should push for ranked choice voting and fucking destroy these two parties.
Absolutely.
I mean, without constitutional reform, which I think is extremely unlikely, in order to eliminate the two-party system. I keep hearing the same shit. I listened to, what's his name? I think Mike Baker from the CIA. He was talking to Joe Rogan on this endlessly fucking frustrating pod where they contradict their own value systems like 30 times in talking about this. But essentially, he's like, you know, it's a joke to think that there's going to be a third party. You just need to vote for, you know, the better of the two. Like, this rhetoric is so poisonous and frustrating. Yeah. As Jordan Peterson would say, it's like, no, you just have to fucking concentrate on something else, on reforming the entire fucking system in an actual, reasonable, tangible way. And that is pushing your local governments to start instituting ranked choice voting, where you can have a third party candidate potentially win if the majority actually prefer them.
Yeah.
And that you don't have to be fearful like the Democrats are pushing right now. They'd prefer not to have ranked choice voting because the entire status quo prefers,
of course,
Joe Biden. That was the whole fucking point.
Yeah.
That was the whole point of crushing Bernie out of the race, is because they want these corporate fucking bot losers, man. But we don't have to settle for that. So like, before people say, "Oh no, you know, vote for one of these two choices, this is all there is." No, fuck that. Grow a fucking spine. And push for ranked choice. And if you don't, you're doing your country a fucking disservice, because the two-party system is totally fucking broken. And the Democratic Party is as corrupt as it's ever fucking been.
Yeah.
And voting for whatever new wave Democrat in the Democratic Party, you're still voting for a party that for the first 6 months of this fucking year denied that coronavirus was a threat, pushed forward with primary elections that likely led to the deaths of potentially tens of thousands of people as they went to in-person primaries because their state governments, in the form of the state Democratic parties, forced them to have in-person primaries and refused to change to mail-in ballots because they wanted to push through Joe Biden. They're murderers. They're responsible for human death. And a vote for a Democrat right now is a vote for the Democratic Party. I'm not saying you shouldn't vote Democratic, but I'm saying you should think very fucking carefully about supporting anyone from that party right now. Both of the parties are crooked as fuck.
That's for sure. In the elections in November, there are definitely a few Democrats I'm going to vote for, but I'll definitely also be voting third party in a number of races. So yeah, I think it's a good point. I've been listening to some stuff on, you know, basically the political realignment in the United States and like how, you know, these political ideologies have shifted and become essentially two ideologically just polar opposite parties, whereas before it was a lot of intermingling and more based on geographical area.
I think that the complete opposite is true, that they've both pushed towards a bizarre kind of center where they're both bought by corporations and they differ very little in their policies. You can talk about all these nonsense ideas of like how they're going to reinstitute, you know, Obamacare in a new guise, and this is an idea of a far left plan, or completely gut Medicare and privatize it as a far right plan. Those things are never going to happen. The status quo is just going to continue as is, where nobody pushes for any fucking change, and America essentially stays the same and keeps the same few people in power. All of the real issues right now, the parties have almost no difference whatsoever. Dealing with coronavirus, the governor, other than these weird mask laws and shit, as far as enforcing closures and stuff like that, I mean, the Democrats were just as late as the Republicans, and they've gotten a little better now, but originally they basically had the same plans. As far as international trade and minimum wages, Medicare for all, there's no difference. Both parties right now are against Medicare for all. Both parties are against increases in minimum wage. essentially. I mean, you can claim that Biden is for it, but it's a lie. He doesn't support it.
Yeah.
There's no light between them. They're the same. So I disagree with this polarization. I think the polarization is imaginary, and it's on cultural issues and on policies that are fantasy. But on practical issues, there's no difference.
They've convinced themselves that they're polar opposites. And my main point in that was that before, it was based on more geographic differences, where you would have some of this intra and inter-party agreement and disagreement and compromise. Whereas now it's essentially they've become these monoliths, and you're right, they're not very different. And they are different mostly on social issues, which have largely been decided.
Exactly.
So it's stupid, and it's not only is it just annoying because then nothing gets done. But yeah, I think that's exactly to go to the point we were talking about earlier, is that the third, fourth party is what has to happen. Otherwise you're gonna keep this going. Yeah, if you had the Democrats just become the center right party and then had an actual left party come out, then I think you're gonna get a lot more, you're gonna have to build these coalition governments and things like that, where you're gonna have to have more compromise. And those things come with their own issues, but I think that at least you're gonna have better representation, and people are gonna be able to vote for someone who actually represents them, both in terms of goes out and does their fucking job, but also aligns more with them on their ideologies.
I don't think that people have ideologies to a large extent. I think that people have, you know, little slogans that they tell themselves, but they don't. The majority of Americans, I should say, the majority of Americans are relatively apolitical based on data I've seen, and they have very shallow concepts of what they prefer for the future of America, because if you actually look at data about what they think about a lot of these issues, there's almost no intellectual continuity. They'll contradict their own values within a set of policy preferences they might have, and they can be very easily swayed on these as well.
Yeah, I mean, definitely when you look at labels and stuff, like people label themselves one thing, but then when you actually give them some sort of like political test on, you know, what kind of policy do you prefer, they generally don't align with that. So yeah.
Exactly. Or they'll listen to whatever the last politician told them is whatever their party should believe in.
Yeah.
It's just become tribalized, and this shit needs to end. It needs to end. And as far as like a new left party, I don't even know what that would. What would constitute that? Would it be like an international communist left, which again is dangerous because it's complacent towards the threat of basically Chinese hegemony in the world? Is it a pro-worker left? Is it a new social left that's like trying to push all these social issues? Because those things are not necessarily aligned.
Yeah, it depends where you come with that. And I think it would probably be a menagerie of things. I mean, look at the current Democratic Party as stands. I mean, you have people as far left as like Bernie, who people smear as a communist, but obviously isn't, maybe a social democrat at best. And you have people all the way to the right, like Joe Manchin, who are like a moderate slash hard right Republican, aside from like one or two issues. So I think that's why you have to have more parties. And yeah, I
agree with that. But I'm saying I still don't like this left-right thing, because I think left-right is a lie. That they're left-right on a thousand different spectrums of issues that have almost no correlation to one another. Your value system, and right now, I mean, a lot of the suggestion is that there's essentially like a two main spectrums within American politics. But I would argue that this is a lot of guesswork, and that if you look at most political systems where parties have relative freedom to form, I mean, you get a wide variety of parties that go across all kinds of spectrums and have different stances on all kinds of issues. So I don't think we can simply pin it down to right left or economic left, you know, small government left, social left, whatever. I think what would be optimal is like they have in like the European Parliament or something like that, or even in Israel, they have got like essentially 20 or 30 small parties with a couple of larger ones, be more representative.
Definitely that, because like you just said, it will be more representative. But it also, yeah, allows for those
less corrupt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And also maybe allows for those parties to be purged and replaced if they're found to be no longer viable, as opposed to just continuing to plug money into things that are absolutely broken and have no chance of ever being whole again. I mean, maybe you could say that maybe these parties that we currently have could be reformed, but it's hard for me to see that. I don't see, aside from taking all the money out of politics and doing a lot of reform in terms of like, hey, you actually have to do your fucking job, especially during a pandemic, instead of taking time off like they're doing all the time now. I don't see them being fixed unless they're pushed by external parties that are just more receptive to what the voters want. But right now, I think they can basically hold. I mean, one is voters are very uninformed, like you said. People are extremely uninformed, which hurts people's case a lot. But also, they can hold you hostage. They can say, well, you know, if you don't vote for a half a bowl of shit in Joe Biden, then you get the full bowl of shit in Trump. And so we're going to do whatever the fuck we want, and we're going to keep taking our big donor money, and we're going to keep doing everything to help the donors, and we're going to give you crumbs. And if you don't like it, then you can take fucking authoritarianism. You can take a fucking fascist and for 4 months.
Exactly. It's a false fucking choice. It's a false choice. And what really pissed me off is that the economy was like, well, because of changes in people's mood towards social policy, that Joe Biden will have more room to maneuver towards a social democratic agenda and push for more leftist issues. But I don't think that Joe Biden has any political core whatsoever where he believes in any of that shit. He's an empty vessel, just like everyone knows he is. So the notion that just because he has the space to push for it, I don't believe that at all. Obama had all the fucking space in the world in 2008, 2009. And what did he give us for healthcare?
He had a fucking supermajority, man.
He had a supermajority. He gave us together a fucking duct tape stitched together pile of shit that was torn apart by the Supreme Court within a decade. So thank you very fucking much, Obama and the old left, and Joe Biden pushing that still, for fuck's sake. I mean, it's so pathetic.
It's very sad. Even if he did have an ideology that was anything but corporatist, which he clearly has a corporatist ideology, he's losing that every day. Like, he's on the mental decline pretty hard right now.
Yeah, and the fact that nobody's mentioning that. I mean, just wait for these fucking debates, man.
If they have them.
We'll see how he handles these debates. My time's up.
They're honestly probably just going to pump him full of speed and hope that he can maintain it for an hour.
I know Donald Trump is pushing him for more debates because he knows that Joe Biden will just fucking crack.
Yeah, Trump's going to look stupid too. I mean, Trump always looks stupid. I mean, there's the Axios interview that everyone was talking about, and like, he looks stupid, but his base doesn't care.
Yeah, but his base is not enough to win a majority right now. It's independent.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people that are probably gonna sit this one out if they, I mean, a lot of people are pissed off at Donald Trump right now.
Yeah.
But like, Joe Biden has a huge lead in the polls right now, like over 10% in some cases.
Yeah, but Americans, the one thing that Americans do not like is a weak leader, and Joe Biden is about to look so fucking weak.
Well, Trump looks really weak right now too, by the way, because he's not leading at all on the coronavirus stuff. But I agree with you. Yeah, Biden will look incredibly.
But that's going to get people to sit out. It's not going to get people to vote for Biden, or, you know, if anything, it'll boost third party turnout.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that I don't think a lot of people are going to vote third party because people have had it so drilled into their head that it's just a wasted vote, that they figure, why the fuck would I even go to the polling station or take the time to print out a ballot and fucking write it in anyway? I'll just, you know, spend my day watching basketball or something.
Yeah.
That's another thing, though, is if you're not voting at all, then I don't know. I get the desire to be like, fuck it, the system's so broken. But if you're going to toss your hands up, then just stop complaining about it. Just focus on your job, focus on your family, and stop fucking talking about politics. Because if you're not going to put in any work at all, then, like, you have that right as an American, but it annoys me.
What was the one story that I had? Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, yeah.
The wokest of the woke getting hit. Holy shit.
She's not that woke, honestly.
Well, I mean, the perception, there's like a perception that, you know, these,
yeah, because she's kind of new, she's left, a lib Hollywood elite that is a lesbian. So obviously she's
exactly,
you know, she's seen as, you know, whatever. I mean, you had to know it from the beginning.
The crow's
like,
coming.
Her whole fucking thing is like so fake. Like, I mean, if you've ever seen her show, like, I know people enjoy it. Sorry for everyone that does, but it's so fake and so contrived.
Yeah, I'm very sorry for you.
And not to mention that, like, when she's just classic fucking Hollywood elite, like, when the whole coronavirus thing was happening, she's like crying in her $1 million mansion, like, this is so hard. It's like, how about you try working 3 jobs and still not making enough money to feed your fucking kids? Like, fuck you.
During the coronavirus.
Fucking abysmal, man. These people are so out of touch. And that's why we need to tax them at like 55%.
I could see that. I could go for that. I feel like 50% is probably 50% is probably okay. Like anything over like $1 million a year at 50%.
Yeah. Give half of that back to us. Thanks. You're welcome for creating, you know, all the
Well, you're not giving it to us. You're giving it you're helping to keep America strong.
You're giving it back to America. Just as we give back our taxes.
I don't pay taxes in the U.S.
Well,
right now.
Well, yeah, that's true. I did for a long time, though.
I did for, a few years. A few years. I filed my taxes because I'm a proud American and I would never break the rules. But because of foreign exemptions, I don't have to pay taxes in the United States of America.
That's true. Yeah, it's gross. It's all just gross. Do you have anything else you want to say about that?
No.
I was reading some Taiwanese history that I thought was interesting. About the, do you know about like the land reform stuff like in the 1950s and 60s?
Yeah.
So I thought some of that stuff was interesting that they like basically said like anything that you can't farm for yourself. So like these land, the rich landowning elites, like you have to give to the government or not give, but sell it to the government. And then they like basically blotted it out and like in plots big enough to like be farmed by a family of six. And because of that, farm production went up like a ton. I forget exactly what it was. It was like 30-40%. And productivity also went up 50%. And then they basically set them up perfectly for the big jump to modern industrialization in like the 1970s and 80s and throughout. It also helped with like the like small businesses. It gave people money that they could basically put as collateral to like start these small businesses or buy houses and things like that. It's pretty interesting.
I mean, they didn't do this out of kindness. They basically did it to remove any potential threat to their power by removing the source of elite power in Taiwan.
It's true. It kind of worked against them, though, because it pissed off the rich, like, landowning elites. And
yeah, but they had no power anymore.
Not anymore, but then it also put them in solidarity with the lower classes and then basically allowed lower class people.
I mean, they were lower class after that. That's the thing. Everyone was lower class.
It's true. But it doesn't mean like, well, lower class and but still being still
I
being
mean,
able
yeah,
to
they were former rich, but they
yeah,
had
but would
no
you rather
assets.
Have a bunch of like landowning lords and ladies that lord over everyone and basically hold all the political capital for themselves, or put them down with the rest of the people and then have them all rise up together against the government, which is what happened? I'm not saying they did it for the right reasons. I'm just saying it was interesting that they kind of like seeded their own fucking death.
Why are you suggesting that that's what happened? I mean, my reading of Taiwanese history is essentially that the KMT, particularly Donghui, I mean, it was destroyed from the inside out. The KMT basically decided it was fucking time. Like, it wasn't, people demanded democracy, yeah, but they never had any, it was essentially the KMT itself that decided to cede power. That's my reading of history.
I don't know. I think there's some interesting things to say, like Lee Teng-hui, bringing him up, I think he kind of played the whole system.
Oh, he definitely played the fucking system.
Yeah, because he was like number two. He was one of the VPs of Jiang Jingguo and basically played his cards right, because he was like not the one that they were going to pick. And then Jiang Jingguo actually liked him. And then right before, because they didn't want to obviously push for Taiwanese independence, because the KMT line is that we are China and we're going to take back over the mainland, using scare quotes. But then he was like, oh yeah, I'm totally against independence, and then quickly flipped right back once he had power. So I definitely think, obviously, that that's a part of it. But I think part of the reason that they were like, oh, we need to start moving away from this one-party system is because it was growing increasingly untenable, not only locally, because people were rising up and they obviously had been for, you know, the past 30, 40 years, but also because of international pressure and the fact that they were losing their international standing. I guess that kind of floated up and down when the United States basically
totally
figured if they were valuable or not. But I do I'm not saying that that was necessarily a good move or a bad move. I just think it's interesting, and I'm still like trying to figure out how much of that played into the whole collapse of the KMT. Now, I don't necessarily think it's like the number one thing, obviously, but it's just an interesting like part of Taiwanese history that I thought was cool. And I thought that, like, thinking about how, like, right now there's so many, like, small independent family businesses and stuff, and how much of that was, like, played a role in it.
It's super interesting, but I don't know how much it played a role in their destruction. I think it played a partly a role in the stabilization of the country.
Yeah, it definitely, I think, for it sure
worked
did that
more to their advantage. Anyways,
I think Zhang Jingguo is another one we could do. We should do an episode on Li Denghui, like a 45 to an hour episode of just his history. But I think Zhang Jingguo is a really fascinating figure too. This fact that he spent like time in like Soviet school for like years.
Yeah.
And actually he was like in the same school with Deng Xiaoping. They were like dorm mates. Like fucking just wild.
Sweet. Yeah. That's kind of weird, man.
Right. It's very weird. And I mean, all their fucking, I mean, Chiang Jiesi, Chiang Kai-shek is also a very fascinating character.
Wow.
Chiang Kai-shek was actually part of the reason that Zhang Jingguo, because they had like a falling out, because Zhang Jingguo denounced his father because his father was like pushing to the right and like pushing against obviously like communism, while his son was in Russia, like under like, you know, obviously a communist leadership. And he like wrote a big like piece denouncing his father for being like anti-communist and like a fucking sellout. And there's,
while he was in Russia.
Yeah. And there's speculation that Zhang Jiesi may have like replaced him with someone else to continue on the dynasty, but he couldn't actually have children because he was impotent from having sex with so many prostitutes in Shanghai.
Wait, say that again.
So the idea is that maybe Chiang Kai-shek would have replaced Zhang Jingguo for like in the line of who would be next to control the family dynasty in Taiwan, of the ROC government.
But he was impotent? He was impotent
from having STDs, basically.
From banging whores. It's news to
interesting.
Me.
Taiwanese history is short, yeah. But it's wild.
I didn't know any of these lurid details.
History is fun,
cool,
man.
Whatever book you got is cool, because all the shit that I've read is dry as fuck. It's basically like, I mean, it's just political history. It's like in 1962,
yeah. You
know, the party secretariat for the lower region decided to purge whatever, you know.
That stuff is good, but it's got to be interspliced with,
it's not talking
with
about
like interesting anecdotes,
polygamy, STDs.
You love to see it. Not really though. Yep. That's fucked up. All right, we should get out of here unless you got anything else.
No.
Oakley dokley. Bye everybody.
Bye bye. My ass.